Hello, everybody. Thank you for watching another episode of The Naturalist Capitalist. Please check the link in the top of the description. Go follow me on Odyssey as well, because I don't know how much longer I'll be allowed on YouTube. Anyway, we've got an interesting show for you today. Some of you guys who watch me, you might have seen this guy around. He's been on all sorts of shows. He's been on Clint's show specifically. That's where I saw him. He did a very interesting episode over there. Micah Dank, I'll just let you introduce yourself, describe what it is you do.
Sure. What's going on, man?
Not much. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So I'm an astrotheologist. What I basically do is I break down the Bible using astrology, which a lot of people don't know, but the Bible is basically an astrology book. The Bible is a combination of three things, really. It's astrology and astrotheology. It's the tarot. That's where we get the word Torah from, tarot cards. And it's also, it's the tarot, it's astrotheology, and it's also alchemy. That's basically what it is. Now, I'm just going to focus on astrotheology for it. But basically, anybody who's seen me on Clint's show, I'm premiering some new stuff with you today. This is the first time I'm ever doing this, so there's a pretty good chance that when I blast all my followers and everything, I'm going to be using this episode, because this is basically as far along as I've come with it. I've added like 20 new slides, so it's going to be brand new stuff for some people.
All right, well, let's get into it. I'll just let you guide this, and then I'll just ask questions as we go.
Perfect. So my first slide says, employ your time in improving yourself by other men's writings, so that you shall come easily by what others have labored hard for. So I've been studying this, and I've been decoding things, and I've been working on this for 8 years. I've put this into about an hour and 15 minute slides. Now, I've got maybe about eight other hours worth of information, but this is just a basic intro to it. So this is astrotheology in the Bible, which is basically the mythology of the zodiac, okay, which is down below. And if you look at the zodiac, Capricorn's at the bottom, Cancer's on top. This is the way the wheel actually works. Okay, now it goes back to the Lascaux Caves. Now, the Lascaux Caves are these caves that these teenagers found or went into 50 or so years ago, maybe a little less than that. And what they did was they went into the back of the caves. Okay, and when they went into the back of the caves, they saw shit like this. They saw the bull, they saw the many faces of the lion, and they saw the horse. Now, in astrology, for people who don't know what it is, the bull is Taurus, the lion is Leo, and the horse is Sagittarius, just missing the man with the bow and the arrow. What they did was they carbon dated the wall, and it came out to about 40,000 years, plus or minus 5,000 years with carbon dating. Now, for people who are religious, they say carbon dating is not accurate. That's actually half true. Carbon dating is actually accurate up to 50,000 years. But when you start to get into the hundreds of thousands and the millions of years, that's where it falls off a little bit. But up to 50,000 years, carbon 14 is actually pretty accurate. So this came out about 40,000 years, give or take 5,000 years. What they did was they brought in an astronomer, okay? And what they did is, because we have the capabilities to do this now, they had a feeling. What they did was they noticed the same pattern that I did. What they did was they, after they carbon dated the wall and it came out to about 40,000 years, they rewound the clocks back 40,000 years with a computer program to see what the stars looked like back then. And lo and behold, when they printed it out and superimposed it on the wall, all these signs lined up to where they were. So we've known about astrology for about 40,000 years. We've Wow. known these signs to be what they are. Okay. And the other interesting thing too is that on June 21st, which is the summer solstice, the sun came into the cave and bounced off this wall. It only happened on that one day. So much like Stonehenge, they have the certain alignments during the solstices and the equinox. The same thing happened here. Now, questions you can ask in the Bible: how Jesus was able to heal the blind, how he walked on water, how he turned water into wine, why he had 12 disciples, why he was betrayed with a kiss by Judas, why he was dead for 3 days, why is his birthday on December 25th? All this can be explained with astrology, which I'm going to get into. We're going to answer these questions. Genesis 1:14 says, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. And that's basically what it is. And that's what the Bible basically is they've encoded this information in order for you to know your stars and your information. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through the 12 signs of the zodiac. for people who are not familiar with it, read, all you need is a basic understanding of the 12 signs, and I'm going to tell you code words that you're going to that mean things within it. You'll see what I'm saying.
Okay.
So Aquarius, the first sign is Aquarius, which is represented by the man with the water pitcher. And it's the story of Zeus and Aquarius. So the story of Aquarius goes back to the Greeks. Basically, what happened was Zeus saw a 14-year-old boy on Earth, and he wanted him because he thought he was beautiful up in heaven, and his father didn't want to give him. So Zeus gave him some livestock. He gave him some animals. He gave him some food. He gave him some stuff, and then the father let him go up. So he took the boy up. The boy is the man with the water pitcher. He had the water pitcher, and in it he was feeding the gods ambrosia, which, if you're familiar with what ambrosia is, it's the nectar of the gods, what the gods used to drink. Eventually, he got fed up with being up there and being basically their slave, that what he did was he took the water pitcher and he poured it over the side of heaven, causing a flood on Earth. That's where the Greeks get their flood story from, the major flood story, okay? And what happened was Zeus got mad at him, and he was going to punish him, but instead he self-reflected and realized he kind of took this boy out of his element and brought him up to heaven. He shouldn't be there. And he immortalized him as the constellation Aquarius. So anytime you hear the words son of man, baptism, because this is how you baptize someone. It's the priest with the jug in the water. That's how you baptize someone. Mm-hmm. Water pitcher, fountain, street, river, pond, lake. Those kind of words, watery things. They're talking about Aquarius. Then Pisces is a sign of the two fish in the water. Okay. So whenever you hear Leviathan or fish, also all the water examples that I previously gave you on the previous slide apply to this too. So the first two are water signs. Okay. Aquarius is actually an air sign. Pisces is a water sign in astrology, but because there's water in Aquarius, it's used to describe watery things in the Bible. Now the first land sign is Aries, which is the ram. And in Aries, you have March 21st, which is the spring equinox. It's a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. It's also the Passover, or the passing over of the sun over the equator, which is what it means in astro theology. For the Jewish people, the Passover is God passing over Egypt. And what he does is he kills anybody that doesn't have the lamb's blood on the door, the ram's blood. The Jewish people are the people of Aries. Okay. Now in Christianity, this has changed. The passing over is changed, and it's called the resurrection of God's son. So you have the Passover of the equinox, and then you have the resurrection of the son. It's two separate meanings, but it's the same thing. And it's always in Aries. It's always in Aries. Now, anytime you hear ram, lamb, shepherd, ram's horn, you're talking about Aries. Then Taurus is the bull. When you look at the sky and you see Taurus during the season where it's supposed to be, you know that you need to put the plow on the bull so that you can plant the seed so you can harvest in Virgo and Libra. Obviously, we have machinery that does this nowadays, okay? So, but this is talking about in the biblical times, they actually used the bull to plow. So whenever you hear bull, ox, calf, or cow because it's a female bull, you're talking about Taurus. Then Gemini is the sign of the twins. It's Castor and Pollux Troy, whose sister was Helen of Troy. It's the story of Achilles. So whenever you're talking about twins or brothers, they're talking about Gemini. Cancer is the crab, and it's the sideways moving creature. So what the sun does is, starting on December 25th, it rises a degree above the horizon. The following day, it'll rise an additional degree, and then additional degree the next day, and then another one, and then another one. It keeps rising 1 degree a day. Okay. It rises 1 degree a day. The days get longer. The nights get shorter. It gets warmer every day. When it hits June 21st, that's the summer solstice. When it hits the summer solstice, it stops at that height, which is the longest day of the year, the shortest night. Then what it does is, like the crab, it walks sideways for 3 days. Okay. That's why it's a crab, and it stays at that height. Then on June 25th, it drops a degree. And then it continues to drop a degree, another degree, another degree. And this is the pattern it follows. And then when it hits December 21st, it doesn't even rise above the horizon. Okay. It's the winter solstice. It's the longest night of the year. The ancients used to say God's son was dead. And then it walks sideways for 3 days like it did in June. So the ancients used to say God's son was dead for 3 days. And then on December 25th, it comes back to life. It's born again. You know, the light of the world is born again. And it comes back up a degree. And that's what it does. So whenever you hear crab or beetle, and the reason beetle is because in the Egyptian zodiac, the beetle, the scarab, actually was in the place of the crab. You actually get the word crab from scarab. And the other difference is that in the Egyptian zodiac, the sphinx actually took place of Leo the lion. Okay. If you look at the Sphinx, where it is, there's water erosion on the back of the Sphinx. Okay. It's not eroded by sand. And the only way it could have been water eroded was if it was hit by water for thousands of years. Well, if you go back, when was the last time there was water in that area? It was during the melting of the Ice Age, which was 12,000 years ago. Now, if you go 12,000 years ago and you look at where Leo is, I mean, the Sphinx is, okay? It's facing the constellation Leo. It was the age of Leo, okay? So now, like I said, those are the only two changes to the zodiac. Since then, it's been pretty much the same. But now Leo is the king. I just mentioned it. The lion, the king of the jungle. The ruling planet of Leo is actually the sun. Okay? So the sun rules Leo. So when they're talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth, they're talking about, it's a metaphor for the sun being in Leo. So whenever you hear lion, lioness, or cub, you're talking about Leo. Then Virgo is the woman holding the wheat stalk. So remember before when we said that you plant in Taurus? Well, the reason it's a virgin holding a wheat stalk, or it's a woman holding a wheat stalk, is because the virgin would go out and cultivate the wheat in Virgo in order to make the bread for the year. So whenever you hear virgin, wheat, grain, seed, barley, corn, things of that nature, things that you harvest in Virgo in September, that's what they're talking about. Libra is the justice. It's the scales. It's the balance. It's the just one. The reason it's the justice is because it judges God's sun as it passes over the fall equinox. So I just previously mentioned before that it's basically celebrated when it goes over the spring equinox, the Passover, the resurrection of the sun. Here it's mourned because it's being sentenced to death. It's being sentenced to winter. Okay. So the Jews always celebrate the new year around the fall equinox, and 8 days after what's known as Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish new year, they have something called Yom Kippur, which is the day of judgment, just like Libra is the judge. And what do the Jews do? They go to temple all day, they pray, they fast, they don't drink water, they don't eat food, and they basically ask for God to keep them in the book of life for another year. Okay. So whenever you hear law, judge, justice, the just one, divorce, marriage, court, lawly things, they're talking about Libra. Libra is also wine season. So you plant the grapes in Taurus and then you press them in Libra. All you got to do is go to a vineyard, Reed. And people go in the springtime. The girls like to go. I'm in Long Island. The girls like to go to the vineyard in the springtime. You go in the springtime, it's stupid because it's empty. You know, everything is bare. You know, yes, it's warm, but like everything is bare. You go in September, October, everything is lush. You could literally walk up and down and pick the grapes off. So anytime you talk about wine, vineyard, wine press, they're talking about Libra. It's also olive oil season. That's when you press the olives. You collect the olives and you press it. So you got all the law stuff, the wine and the olive oil. That's referring to Libra. Then Scorpio is the scorpion and he is the betrayer. When a scorpion bites you, it leaves an imprint in your skin that looks like a pair of lips. And it's where the mafia gets their kiss of death from. That's where that comes from.
Is this also Judas kissing Jesus? Is that where that comes from too? Or...
Yep. It's why Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss.
Yep.
See, now the 12 disciples represent the 12 zodiac signs. And I'm going to go into another example of that in a little bit. So the sun is judged in Libra. It's betrayed in Scorpio, then finally in Sagittarius, this is where the bow and the arrow shoot the sun and inflict further punishment on the sun. Okay, because I mentioned this is the death of the sun. In Sagittarius, that's December 21st, is in Sagittarius. That's the death. That's the day the sun dies. So when they're talking about horse, bow and arrow, spear, horseman, they're talking about Sagittarius. And finally, Capricorn. This is the goat because he likes to climb the mountain. So look at the zodiac wheel over here. Capricorn's at the bottom. Picture the sun at the bottom of it going alongside the wheel, climbing a degree a day every day until it hits Cancer and then making that loop that I just explained to you. It starts to climb up the metaphorical mountain, just like the mountain goats do. Okay? So now we've got the 12 signs out of there, and I basically gave you the cipher. Now, there are names for Jesus in the Bible that are not in the Bible. There's names for Jesus in church that come from astrology, but people don't realize. So Jesus being the Son of God, not the Son of God, the S-U-N of God, okay? When the Son is in Capricorn, the goat, his name is the scapegoat of Israel. When the Son is in the man sign of Aquarius, he's known as the Son of Man. When the Son is in Pisces, He's known as the fisherman of men. Pisces, the two fish. It's also why he feeds the masses on the mound with two fish. He's known as the Lamb of God or the Ram in Aries. He's the Lion of Judah, also known as Leo. The lady holding the stalk of wheat, Virgo. He's born of a virgin and he's called the Bread of Life. Libra is the scale of justice. He's known as the Just One. He's betrayed in Scorpio. He dies in Sagittarius, December 21st. And it's why he's worshipped on the Sun Day. Okay. Now look at this picture of Jesus that I have on the left. Okay. This is a stereotypical picture I ripped off the internet. You're going to see four things. You're always going to see four things in any picture that you rip off the internet, any cartoon image or anything from Jesus. The sun is always behind his head. Sometimes there's a Knights Templar cross within the sun. His two fingers are up like this. Okay. Without the cigarette. And his two fingers are up like this. The heart and the crown of thorns, always outside the body, okay? The sun is always behind Jesus because he represents the sun. They did the same thing with Horus, the sun god in ancient Egypt. The two fingers up like this, this is an ancient Kemetic peace sign. The ancient Kemetic peace sign, Kem, means Egypt, okay? This is the original peace sign. This is what is known as the British victory sign. It's the V for victory. The fingers are separate. It's a British war sign. Right. So this John Lennon peace sign is not actually a peace sign. This is the peace sign. So whenever you see statues of Baphomet like this, Jesus doing this, Satan or whatever, they're telling you they're coming in peace. That's what it means. It's just been perverted and inverted. Now the white Jesus picture, the reason he's white is because he's actually a guy named Caesar Borgia. That's where his face comes from, who was the bastard son of Pope Alexander VI. So what happened was in the mid-1500s, Rodrigo Borgia bought himself a seat in the papacy, okay? And he made his bastards, because popes used to have kids. They just were never married. That was the thing. So they were all bastards, okay? Before the mid-1500s, there was no picture of Jesus, and it would be decided he'd be the face of. What's important to know, too, is that in the mid-1500s, the printing press came out, okay? That's, which is, to this day, the greatest invention that's ever happened, okay? To this day. And what happened was they were able to mass produce this picture. Now, this isn't like in Islam, where you're not allowed to depict Muhammad. There was just no right. picture of Jesus before. So it became the face. Now, the crown of thorns wrapped around the heart, outside the heart, is represents the rays of the sun. Jesus has the crown of thorns on his head, too. Jesus is the sun. That represents the sun's rays. The heart outside the body represents the toroidal or the torus field. Okay, if you've ever heard of the torus field before, it's an electromagnetic, electrochemical gradient that goes around your body like this within 6 feet, okay? That's why the elites tried to keep you 6 feet apart right now. It's so that you can communicate on a submolecular level with one another.
Okay.
Okay, that's why they did that, okay? Now, basically, if you look at this, this is what it looks like, the electromagnetic field of the heart. It looks like an apple almost, okay? And this is when you're interacting with someone. This is what it looks like. You ever have someone come up behind you and you just know someone's there? It's not because you're a psychic or anything. It's because they broke your toroidal field. It's a legitimate thing. Some people call it an aura. Some people call it, you know, whatever you want to call it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is Jesus on the left. This is Caesar Borgia on the right. You see it?
Yeah.
That's where he comes from. That's Caesar Borgia. That's where all the faces of Jesus come from. Okay.
So what was the year again?
Now, if I were, what was the what?
What was the year of this guy again? I'm trying, 15.
Oh, I think it was like 1581. I could be wrong, okay. But it was right around the time the printing press came out, and it was during Rodrigo Borgia or Pope, the Pope's reign.
Okay. Something interesting that actually relates to me is I'm related to Miles Coverdale, who was, I believe, the first person to translate the Bible into English. And I think I'm trying to remember what year he died, but it was around the same time period. So obviously the Son of God, that's a language specific translation because I just think that's interesting that all lines up because it's around the same time the Bible would have been translated into English and you had the printing press, Matt. Yeah, it all makes sense.
It's astrotheology is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it a little bit deeper. Now, I don't know how, if you've actually seen my, if you've seen the whole episode with Clint, if you've seen the PowerPoint, but let me ask you the question, because you come from a somewhat, we were talking off screen. You told me that you come from like a somewhat religious, you're not religious, but you come from like a churchy background.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to be familiar. So when I prep you and I just ask you questions about this, you'll be familiar with it. Are you familiar with the phrase pride comes before the fall?
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain it to your, can you explain to your listeners what it's meant literally when you say pride comes before the fall to someone?
Yeah. Basically don't get too high on your high horse, because if you become too confident, that's right before you'll slip up and make a mistake.
And that usually makes sense, right?
Right.
Now, astro theology. Okay. Now, what is a group of lions called?
A pride.
Exactly. Now watch this. A group of lions is called a pride. Pride is the lion. Lion is Leo. Leo is in July and August. That comes before the fall. You see that?
Yep. Yeah. And like you said earlier, this is all very language specific, because it's got to be in English for it to make sense.
Well, it's not just English. Or, this goes back to other languages too. I haven't done these presentations in like Hebrew or anything. But to understand this, you have to know your Greek. You have to know your Latin. You have to know, well, some Latin. You have to know your Greek. You have to know your German. You have to know your English for sure. You have to know
your Hebrew for sure. So a lot of these words are the same in all these different languages. Like sun is the same.
Yes, they're translated. They're translated action for action.
Okay.
They're translated action for action. What they mean to the best capabilities of the translators, absolutely. So this would mean the same thing.
Okay.
Now, in Micah, which is my namesake, Micah 5:2. Okay. Jesus is the book of Micah. Micah prophesizes that a savior will come from. Do you remember what town?
Jerusalem, or Bethlehem? Sorry.
No, Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Bethlehem. Now watch this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. The origins are from old, from ancient times. Bethlehem in Hebrew is a combination of two words, Bet and Lechem. Bet means house. Lechem means bread, the house of bread. Each zodiac sign is called a house. It's called a house. In the Bible, they say, in my father's home, there are many abodes. There are many mansions. There are many houses. There's plenty of mentions of that before too. Now, the house of bread. The house of bread is Virgo, the virgin. So what they're really encoded saying here is that the savior is going to come from a virgin. That's how you'd read this astrotheologically. And we're going to get into some deeper stuff too. Now, I've given you the key words to look for in order to decode this. And I've highlighted them in the next slide. Okay. But I'm going to show you just how many signs are in this. Okay. This is Deuteronomy 32. He gave them honey from the cliffs and olive oil from the rocky grounds. He gave his people butter from the herd and milk from the flock. He gave them lambs and goats. They had the best rams from Bashan and the finest wheat. They drank the best wine made from the juice of red grapes. But Jeshurun became fat and kicked like a bull. There's eight signs right there, you see?
Mm-hmm.
In this one passage, you see how it's eight signs? Now, yep. There's two that I didn't mention that I've italicized here. There's honey. Okay, he gave them honey. In the sign Cancer, there's a group of stars called the beehive cluster. So that's where the honey comes from, metaphorically. And the milk would come from something called the Milky Way galaxy, which has been named by name as far back as the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Okay, which I've also decoded like this. Okay, so basically what they're saying, the Milky Way galaxy, the center is in Sagittarius. So you land from Cancer to Sagittarius is your metaphorical land of milk and honey. It's not a real place. It's astrology, okay? Now, I'm gonna read you another passage and I'm gonna show you how we start decoding this with the wheel. The Mount of Olives. Jesus led his disciples to the Mount of Olives after his last Passover so he could teach them a few more things, pray, then wait for Judas to betray him. While walking to the Mount of Olives, he gave the parable of the true vine. Now, Passover takes place in Aries. Look at the wheel on the left, that's on the left. Right after he walks to the Mount of Olives, olive oil, that's in Libra. Those are opposing signs. You just draw a line directly across. The reason astrotheology works is because you'll see patterns. They'll talk about every other sign encoded. They'll talk about neighboring signs, which is a sign's neighboring sign. They'll talk about what's known as opposing signs or cross signs. Okay, this is the cross sign. Now, they're in Libra. They're waiting for Judas to betray him. And I mentioned to you, the betrayal happens in Scorpio. Scorpion, the betrayer. Okay, so you go across from Aries to Libra, and then you're waiting for the next sign to betray. While in Libra, he gave the parable of the true vine. And vine is, you know, vineyard, wine press. They're talking about Libra. So this is how we start decoding things. And when I get to the book of Matthew with you, because I've done the whole thing, I'm going to show you. This is the pattern that we find. Okay. Revelation 4:7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. The first living creature was like a lion. That's Leo. The second was like an ox. That's Taurus. The third had a face like a man. That's Aquarius, the sign of the man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Now, in astrology, the scorpion is the belly crawling creature. Okay. It's the lowest form of life on earth, much like God condemned the snake after the betrayal to crawl on his belly. It's a punishment. It's the lowest form of life on earth. In astrology, the evolved form of the Scorpio is the eagle, who's the highest flying form of life on earth. The eagle's evolved form becomes a phoenix. And what is the story of the phoenix? It's the same story of Jesus. It's the sun. It's a flaming ball that dies and it's reborn from its ashes. So the eagle is Scorpio. Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio are the four fixed signs of the zodiac. In astrology, there are what's known as fixed signs, mutable signs, which are water-based signs. Pisces is a mutable sign. And cardinal signs. Okay, Libra, that's a cardinal sign. Okay? Now watch this. Lion, Leo, man, Aquarius. Followed on the zodiac. Those are opposing signs. Ox, Taurus. Eagle, Scorpio. Those are opposing signs. If you follow it, it makes an X through the zodiac wheel. It's very aesthetically pleasing. That's what this passage means. That's all it really is. Okay, that's what they're talking about here. Okay, now Revelation 12, to keep with Revelation for a little bit. Revelation 12, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and she cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. Okay? Now watch this. A woman clothed with the sun is the sun clothed in Virgo. It's just a metaphor. If the sun is in Virgo, the moon will be at her feet. Now, the zodiac is 12 signs. Okay? We have a 24-hour day clock. So the sun spends 2 hours in each sign. It's just simple math, right? If the sun is in Virgo, that's about 4 to 6 p.m. That's still, the sun is still out. Now, if the sun is out, the moon is at our feet, right? Because when the moon is out, the sun is at our feet. You see the metaphor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous dragon. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. On the left is the constellation Draco. Look at its tail. It's enormous. It goes from Aries to Sagittarius, which is 4/12 of the sign, or 1/3 of the stars out of the sky. So that's what they're talking about there. This is just astrology.
Wow.
Now let's continue because I've got some new shit for you. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. The sheep is the lamb or the ram in Aries. The wolf is the constellation Lupus, which borders Libra. Those are opposing signs. So I've given examples of astrotheology in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. I've been accused of cherry-picking verses from the Bible to prove a point. Let's take a much longer passage and see if we can decode it as well. So Reed, I need your help on this one. We've come to the point in the presentation where we're talking about the book of Job. Now, do you remember Job?
I do.
Can you explain to your listeners basically what his backstory is?
Sure. So Job was a man who had a great family, lots of wealth, a great life. And God was boasting to Satan one day about what a great servant Job was. And Satan said, well, he's only a good servant because you've given him so much. And God said, you want to make a bet? And so they basically made a bet. And then God took everything away from Job. And he killed his whole family. His wife left him. His house got destroyed. All his friends betrayed him. And he had boils on his skin. Everything was terrible, but he still wouldn't reject God. He remained a loyal servant. And then God rewarded him by giving him way more than he had had in his previous life because he proved him to be correct.
Correct. That's perfect. Now, do you remember in Job how there's a point where he's, I think he's like sitting on a rock or something, and he's crying out to God to answer him, to talk to him?
Yep.
I'm going to read you God's response. Okay. So the first part of the sentence that I read you is what God says to him. The second part of the sentence is the astrology behind it. Okay. We're going to go through the whole thing. Job 38:32. Can you lead forth the Maseroth? The Maseroth, that's the first thing he says. The Maseroth literally means the zodiac in Hebrew. Okay. So it openly asked him, do you know your Maseroth? Maseroth over time becomes Mazalot, which survives in Judaism today as Mazel Tov. And you know how old that is good luck or good fortune from the stars. When you say Mazel Tov, you're saying good fortune from the stars. What's the Lord's challenge to Job? He says, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Those are obvious metaphors for stars and constellations that we know. Then he says, can you bring forth the constellation in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? The constellations are the zodiac above. The bear and its cubs are Ursa Major, the Great Bear, and Ursa Minor, part of the Big Dipper. Who can tip over the water jars of heavens? That's Aquarius, the man with the water pitcher who's tipping it over. Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions? That's Leo, the lion. Who provides food for the raven? The constellation Corvus, which means raven and borders on Virgo. Do you watch where the doe bears her fawn? Mriga, meaning deer, is located in Orion. Who let the wild donkey go free? That's Acellus Borealis, meaning donkey, and is located in Cancer. You see where I'm going with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? That's Taurus. The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully. That's Lambda Achille or Al Thaliman, which means two ostriches in Arabic. Do you give the horse its strength? It laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. It does not shy away from the sword. The quiver rattles against its side along with the flashing spear and lance. It also means spear, okay? The bow and arrow, that's also translated as a spear, which is Sagittarius with the bow and the arrow. I'm going to give you two examples of the spear. What would you say the two most important murders in the entire Bible would be?
Two most important murders, including Jesus?
That would be one.
And Cain and Abel?
There you go. There you go. Jesus is hit with the spear of destiny to check if he's dead, remember?
Yes.
Okay. Cain and Abel. Cain hits Abel with a rock. Do you know what Cain translates to Hebrew? The word Cain is?
I don't.
It translates to spear. It means spear. Okay. So there you go. Okay. So does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? Aquila, which is the Latin name for eagle and is a constellation a few degrees above the celestial equator. Can you pull in Levethian with a fish hook? That's Pisces. So now you see how in his response to Job, it's just astrology. They're just talking about it. Everything is encoded this way. He's just talking, do you know this? Now, it's important to know, in our neck of the woods, in the galaxy, okay, we know of 88 constellations now. At the time they wrote this, they knew about 48, and they knew a bunch more stars too. Okay, like I said, they knew about the Milky Way galaxy in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. They openly talk about it, okay? So now, answers to questions at the beginning, how Jesus was able to heal the blind. So what happens? The blind man comes up to him, and Jesus touches him on his eyes, and he could see. Well, the sun does the same thing too. You know, basically, when it's dark outside, you can't see shit. But when the sun comes up, it touches your eyes, you're given the gift of sight. Now, how he walked on water. You ever gone fishing before? You seen a sunset on a lake?
Yeah, it reflects
that's
off
how the sun, yeah. That's how God... That's how God's son walks on water. How he turned water into wine. It's a little more complicated to explain, but it actually makes sense. Do you know why God is considered a man and Earth is considered a woman, Mother Earth? Do you know why they're given those distinctions?
I don't.
It has to do with the rain, the sacred fluid. Okay? God's rain comes down. It's called Shemen in Hebrew, rain. Okay, we get the word semen from it. It's the sacred fluid. God's sacred fluid pours down on Mother Earth, and then from her belly, she gets impregnated and things grow. Food, plants, flowers. Okay, that's why that happens. Now, you plant in Taurus, remember? Then Taurus is also, you know, April showers bring May flowers. That's that old saying. That's Taurus. What happens? It rains and it rains and it rains throughout the year, and then the grapes grow, and then boom, you take them in Libra. You crush them. That's how you turn God's water into wine. So why he had 12 disciples? Now, I mentioned one to you, that Judas was Scorpio. Okay? Now, the other thing you need to know is that, I'm going to give you another example of another sign. Simon Peter, right? Now, my name is Micah. Some people call me Mike. Some people call me Mickey, whatever. Josh, I mean, Jonathan is John. You've got examples like that, you know, that nicknames that make sense. Why was Simon given the name Peter? You're told that his name was Peter, but do you know why his name was given to Peter? The reason his name is given to Peter, well, do you remember what his job was on Earth? He was a fisherman. So it's the fish, the two fish. Pisces. Do you know what the ruling planet of Pisces is?
I don't.
It's Jupiter, or Jupiter. You see how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Now, each one of these zodiac signs has a story just like it. Why he was dead for 3 days, we went over that. Why he was betrayed with a kiss by Judas, we went over that. Why his birthday's on December 25th, just like all the other gods, we went over that too. He's born again. The sun comes back to life. Okay? But it doesn't stop there. It's not just random passages in the Bible that can be decoded this way. We're going to go through the entire book of Matthew to show how deep this runs. Now, the reason I did the book of Matthew is just because it's the first book of the New Testament. It has no other reason behind that. I could have done any other one. This is really going to blow your mind. This is the book of Matthew. Now, what I've done is I have put an image of the zodiac on the left, and I circled the area you're supposed to look at so you could follow along. Okay?
Yeah.
Matthew 3:2, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Each gospel begins at one of the four major points of the zodiac and ends at one of them as well, too. The two solstices and the two equinoxes, when connected, form a cross. This is known as the cross of God's Son. The kingdom of heaven is Leo, whose ruling planet is the sun. I've mentioned that before. So, if the ruling planet is if Leo is where it starts, Leo, whose ruling planet is the sun, okay? So we're starting close to it. The kingdom of heaven is near. So Leo is near. So what's nearest to Leo? Cancer. In Cancer, you have June 21st. That's when this starts. This is the firmament between Cancer and Leo. You see these dividing lines? Some people call them cusps. Some people call them handover dates. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of the kingdom. There's a saying in the Bible that says the firmament shows God's handiwork. The firmament are the dividing lines between signs. Now, the next passage, Matthew 3:4, John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. If we take the most famous drawing of a man, Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, and superimpose it onto the zodiac, we can make sense of this. It didn't have to be that. I just chose it because it's kind of like a famous image. Honestly, I could just take like a picture of you and use it. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, so let's see here. Hold on. Okay, beautiful. Now I can see more. All right. Cancer being the head. You see what I did here? Cancer being the head is where he eats the wild honey. The beehive cluster is there. So the head is there. So his mouth is there. He's eating that. Now, as far as the locust, Leviticus 11, what's clean and unclean to eat? All flying insects that walk on all fours are to be regarded as unclean to you. There are, however, some flying insects that walk on all fours that you may eat. Those that have joint legs for hopping on the ground. Of these, you may eat any kind of locust, katydid, cricket, or grasshopper. Okay, because people are like, why the fuck would he eat locusts? Well, it's in the Bible. It literally tells you can.
Right.
Now, a little lower on the body is the clothes made out of camel hair, or Camelopardalis, which is in Gemini. Okay, that's where the camel hair comes from. Camelopardalis. So now you have the head and the upper body so far. So what's next with the belt? Moving a little lower on the body, you get the midsection, which is where you would wear a belt. Taurus represents the bull and the female is the cow, which is where you get the leather. Regarding the belt, Orion's belt sits between Taurus and Gemini. Now next would be the baptism. Now how are we going to go from the beginning of Leo to a water sign to signify the baptism? You'd go across the zodiac. Cross signs, as they are known, are the signs' opposite location. For example, Aries and Libras are cross signs. This is very important. The sign's two most important signs are its neighboring sign and its cross sign, and you're going to see patterns like this all over the place. Here we see how it makes a leap from one firmament to the other. Okay? So basically, if you're in the firmament of Cancer and Leo, for example, I'll give you an example of how this code would work. Cancer has the beehive cluster. So if you're in the firmament, I could talk about bees or I could talk about lions. Make sense? Because it's kind of bordering both. That's how this code works. So the man with the water pitcher is Aquarius, is personified as John the Baptist with the water. It's important to note too that John the Baptist and Jesus are always exactly 6 months apart. When you think about the fact that Jesus is born on December 25th and rises a degree a day, then it must mean that John the Baptist is born on June 24th and decrease a degree a day. This is why in John 3:30, John says he must increase, but I must decrease. It's also why St. John's Day is exactly 6 months to the day of the birthday of Jesus. Now, the next story is the temptation of Jesus. So we're going back to the Cancer Leo firmament of July 24th. This is actually pretty simple. He's tempted for 40 days. So you just count 40 days. It takes you to September 2nd from July 24th. That's right in the middle of Virgo. Do you remember what Virgo is?
The virgin.
And the wheat stalk, right? The bread.
Yeah.
So what's the next passage? Matthew 4:3. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Here we see mention of the bread, which tells you that the sun is in Virgo. The next passage, Matthew 5:17 and 22. I did not come to abolish the law. If you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. This takes place in the firmament of Virgo and Libra. We were just talking about bread, which is Virgo. And now we're talking about law and judgment, which is Libra, the scales. Okay. Matthew 7:9-10. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, you give them a stone instead. Once again, it's switched back to Virgo. Matthew 7:15-16. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep. And can you pick the grapes from the thorn bushes? The sheep are the ram in Aries and the grapes are in Libra. Once again, these are opposing signs. Moving along, Matthew 13. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. The story now moves from Libra to the barrier between Aquarius and Pisces, the two water signs, right? So when you sit beside the lake, do you follow that metaphor, how it's between the two? So he's beside the lake instead of in the lake, right? Okay, its cross sign is the Leo-Virgo firmament. As it's across from Virgo, the wheat stalk, the grains. Is it ironic that Jesus' next parables are the wheat and the weeds, the mustard seed, again, seed, and the yeast? Moving right along, next is the fishing net parable. So now we go back across from Leo Virgo to Aquarius Pisces. Then Gemini is the sign of the two men, technically twins. However, there's just a short mention of brothers in the next passage. He's just the carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. This ends at the firmament of Gemini Cancer. How do we know this? Look at the Gemini Cancer firmament, okay? Mm-hmm. Do its cross sign. It's another firmament. You see how it's the cross, it's the Sagittarius Capricorn firmament?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you remember what happens in Sagittarius? In Sagittarius, you have December 21st, the death, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happens next? The very next passage. The next story is the death of John the Baptist. As I've mentioned previously, death comes at the end of Sagittarius. The firmament of Sagittarius and Capricorn and the Gemini Cancer are opposing signs. I'm going to take a sentence which I came up with, which sounds like it could be in the Bible, but isn't. If I said to you, the rulers were divided between war and love, it split the land in half. You could read that as a literal translation. The ruling planet of Aries is Mars, who is the god of war. The ruling planet of Libra is Venus, who is the goddess of love. There is your war and love. If you connect it, as you see here, it literally splits the zodiac or the land in half. This is how the metaphors work in the Bible. Okay? So you're basically walking through the zodiac, going across, going to the next one, dot, dot, dot. Now, Matthew 14, 17, and 32. Matthew 14, 17, and 32. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The bread and the fish are opposing signs in the zodiac. Pisces, the 2 fish, and Virgo, the bread. It's also why he feeds the masses with 2 fish. It's the sun in Pisces. It's a metaphor. This is the cross of God's sun. We were just in Virgo, and now next is Libra, which is law and wine, remember? What stories do we get from Jesus now? The story of the temple tax, the unforgiving debtor, divorce and marriage, and the parable of the vineyard worker. Wow. So you can see how this works at this point, right? Isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
You can literally see how this works. Next is Scorpio, the betrayer. This is where so we were in Libra, now we're in Scorpio. This is where Judas betrays Jesus with the kiss. And then we have Sagittarius again. Okay? Sagittarius is the death.
Right.
This is where Jesus crucified on the cross. Okay? And that, my friend, is the book of Matthew. Do you see how this all starts to work and like come together?
Yeah. Yeah, this is so I mean, I'll save some questions for the end. I'll just let you keep going, but I've got some general questions about this toward the end, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Jesus disappears at 12 and he comes back at 30, right?
Right.
Okay. It's confusing. People are trying to figure it out. Is there actually a really simple explanation? This has been a subject of great debate, but the answer is quite simple. What happens to a young Jewish boy at the age of 12? He becomes bar mitzvahed. He becomes a man. So Jesus becomes a man and leaves to study. He starts his ministry at 30. But why? The ancient Jewish religion has roots in Saturnalia worship before it. That's why their day of rest is a Saturday or the Saturn day, whereas the Christians believe in God's son on the sun day. So why 30? Saturnalia worshippers said that you were not allowed to become a teacher until Saturn came back to the point as when you were born. It just so happens that Saturn takes 30 years to revolve around the sun. They knew this. Now, this is how I believe in God, by the way. The sun tells the hour of the day. The moon tells the day of the month. The zodiac tells the month of the year. It's a creation. It was created that way. Things don't just, it's one in a billion, billion, billion chance that we have a sky clock like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just needed to figure it out, but it's all set in place. This is created. This is an architect that created it. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments, and when he comes down, he sees them worshiping a golden calf. The sun is gold, and the calf is the bull or Taurus. So read what's more likely. These Jews had to run out of Egypt, okay? They couldn't even let the bread rise. That's why we have matzah to this day, because it's unleavened bread. Mm-hmm. They couldn't even let the bread rise. So is it possible that they just filled their pockets with gold, went into the desert for 40 years, and basically when Moses went up to get the commandments, pulled it together, found welding equipment in the desert, and then built a giant statue? Or as you could see below, it's the sun in Taurus. They were worshiping the wrong time period. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're worshiping the wrong time period. They're in the age of Aries. Okay. They're the Jews, the age of Aries, the ram. That's why they blow the ram's horn to the sky. Okay. And they were in the age of Taurus before with the Egyptians. That's why you see the bull with the sun right between its horns. Okay. Now, the ancient Egyptians used to worship the sun in Taurus, hieroglyphics of the bull with the sun between its horns on the left. The Jews are the people of Aries. That's why they blow the ram's horn to the sky. Now, the Christians are the people of Pisces. That's why they have the Jesus fish. Okay, that's the fish, as shown below. This is also why Jesus is able to feed the masses with 2 fish. John 21. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Look at that picture on the left right there with the 2 circles. I've highlighted the Jesus fish. That's known as the Vesica Pisces. Mm-hmm. The Vesica Pisces mathematical equation is 247 over 153. The ancients knew all this stuff. They just encoded it in deeply metaphorical ways. That's what they did. These were not meant to be taken seriously. Genesis 32:30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Okay, Peniel is pineal. Okay, it becomes pineal. You see the Eye of Horus on the left, and you see the nipple looking thing, that's the pineal gland, and above it, the number 7 is the corpus callosum. It's the same thing. Okay, the pineal gland, what it does is it secretes, aside from melatonin, it secretes a chemical called DMT, dimethyltryptamine. For people who don't know what it is, dimethyltryptamine is what causes you to dream. It's a chemical secreted when you're in heavy REM sleep, okay, that causes you to dream. It's secreted twice in your life. Once is during heavy REM sleep, and the other time is as your body's shutting down and you're about to die, your brain floods your body with it, okay? That's where the portal for the afterlife begins, okay? Now, in many Buddhist traditions, 49 days is a total mourning period, with prayers conducted every 7 days across 7 weeks. These Buddhists believe that rebirth takes place within 49 days after death. It just so happens that we can tell now with scans that the pineal gland becomes visible on the 49th day of gestation. The ancients knew all of this stuff without what we call modern technology. They knew all this stuff. Now, hell. We're talking about hell now. Hell is known as the flaming inferno, right?
Right.
That's basically what hell is led to believe. How do we detect pain? The nervous system, the brain, the nerve endings, the spinal cord, the neurons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question. When you die and you have none of these anymore because they rot and they basically get broken down and eaten by bugs, how is your soul going to burn if it doesn't have nerve endings to feel pain? That's not what happens, okay? Hell is actually winter, okay? The idea of a fiery pit where you burn for all eternity is ridiculous when you think about it logically. Hell is actually winter on Earth. Why? Because it's cold. Because the vegetation and the beautiful flowers and plants are dead. The trees shed their leaves and bear no fruit. It's freezing cold out. People tend to get sick more often. Dangerous animals, if they're not hibernating, are starving and scrounging for food. It's dangerous for humans.
Mm-hmm.
The Italian word for winter is inverno, not inferno, inverno. Flip a letter, inferno, and pervert the meaning, you get the concept of hell. This picture is Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy, Satan in the bottom level of hell. As you can see, he is frozen up to his waist in a frozen tundra because his wings are flapping so hard that it's freezing everything over. Dante knew hell was winter on Earth. Why didn't you? Satan and Lucifer. Satan does not exist. He's not a red devil with a tail and a pitchfork. In fact, the earliest paintings of him in the 900s, he was actually blue, not red. In Hebrew, the word for Satan is Hashatan, which literally translates to adversary. In proper context, two competing sports teams are Satans to one another. Lucifer, he is known as the light bringer, Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. How can there be light without the light bringer or the light bearer? Lucifer is immediately mentioned in the Bible, not by name, but by action and purpose. Lucifer is also known as the morning star. The morning star, also known as the planet Venus. The reason it's that is because if you go out and you look at the sky just before sunrise in the east, you will see a bright light directly over it. That's Venus. It announces the arrival of God's only begotten son, the light of the world, every day. Lucifer is also known to have a pentagram. That's a symbol. Continuing with Lucifer is Venus, if you follow Earth and Venus's orbit around the sun in a year's time, they almost connect at 5 points. You connect those 5 points, you get the pentagram. Right here, that's what it looks like. There's Earth, there's Venus, there's the pentagram. It's all astrology, bud. Now, this is the rudimentary phallic symbol on the left, the original penis, so to speak. It is known as the spear. Remember we've spoken about the spear before?
Yep.
That is the rudimentary womb sign in the middle, the chalice, the feminine. This is the Star of David. It's the joining of two. It's a hermaphrodite, so to speak. There's more sex magic in the Bible than you think. This, if you don't recognize it, this is a blueprint, a faithful blueprint for Solomon's temple.
Yeah.
Okay? The cubits at the bottom show the size, and it's basically a cubit. Now, do you see anything interesting with it before I completely change how you see it from now on?
I don't know. Just tell me.
This is the view of Solomon's temple from above. It's important to note that Solomon is not a name of a person. It's a combination of three words for the sun. Sol, or sun in Latin. Om, or sun in Buddhism. On, which was the city of light, or Heliopolis in Greece. Solomon. That's why when you go into a room, you have to turn the lights on. still, because that's how you get enlightened. That's how you get light. This was created using sex magic. Yakin and Boaz represent the testicles from this view. The porch is the base of the penis. The holy place is the shaft. The holy of holies is the head. You see it now, right? The ark or the hole of the penis is where the DNA information Torah is stored. The storage chambers represents the female womb, and the two entrances to them represent the fallopian tubes. This is literally a penis entering a vagina. So that's what Solomon's temple actually is. Now, Samson and Delilah. So before I go into Samson and Delilah, I have to mention is that the Bible stories, okay, it's important to know that they're basically just different ways talking about what is known here as the hero's journey. That's what it's called. It's the hero's journey. It's the sun coming back to life. It's going through all the seasons, doing all the good, being betrayed, dying, and coming back to life. That's known as the hero's journey. I think it was Joseph Campbell that talked about it, okay? Every biblical story is a different interpretation of how the sun does this, okay? Now watch this. Samson and Delilah. If you notice that Samson and the sun have the same derivatives, so do Delilah and night. In Hebrew, the sun is called Shamash, which is also what the Hanukkah candle that, you ever see a Hanukkah menorah? You light the first one in the front and then it lights the rest? Okay, that's known as the Shamash. It represents the sun. It lights the rest. You don't light one and then light all, you don't light all of them like this. You light the first, take the first, and then light the rest with the first, okay? Now the story of Delilah, okay. So basically Samson, okay, literally means little sun, okay? The root of Samson is sun, okay? Shamash, Shamash means sun, okay? Shamshon, that's his name. Delilah, Lila means night. When you say goodnight to someone in Hebrew, you say Laila Tov. That means good night. So Delilah is night. Samson is the sun. This is the story of the sun, the eternal battle between the sun and the night, or set from ancient Egyptians. This is why we have a sunset. Okay. What happens to Samson? He gets his hair cut. He loses his powers. He goes blind. The sun goes down. It's the story of the night overtaking the sun. Jonah in the body of the whale. In Hebrew, the words are dag gadol, which translates to great giant fish. He's in it for 3 days. It's the 3 days you see recurring in the Bible over and over again. The sun walking sideways like the crab for 3 days. Okay, you'll see the 3 days everywhere. You'll see the 3 days in the ancient text too, in the Epic of Gilgamesh. You'll see it in the Enuma Elish. You'll see 3 days. They always mention 3 days. This is why. Daniel in the lion's den. It's a story revolving around two signs in astrology. Daniel the man, Aquarius, and the lions, which are Leo, the lion. Those are opposing signs. There's just different variations of the sun in different points. Okay, I can go through the whole Bible. There's just different variations. Anyway, there's a town in Israel called Megiddo, which is a 3rd century church, which is found under another church. It's one of the oldest churches known to man. In the center of the floor of the mosaic are the two fish Pisces. Megiddo is also the root word of Armageddon, which is where the war on earth and the rapture is supposed to begin. This is a 3rd century mosaic. Pisces, the two fish. They knew that Jesus was the age of Pisces. Now you have the swastika, okay? The swastika, if you read from Wikipedia, for example, talks about its origins of ancient times, from ancient religions and its peaceful meaning. Again, tweak it a little and pervert the meaning and you get the modern day peace that we see that will never be reclaimed as a peaceful symbol. But it goes further than that. The swastika isn't Buddhist or Hindu, Babylonian or Syrian or Sumerian. It's actually astrology. This is the oldest swastika that we found. It's 17,000 years old and it's from the Ukraine. Okay, this is actually the oldest swastika. Okay, now look at this. The Big Dipper, rotated around the North Star, as shown here on the solstices and equinox. Connect it, you get the swastika. That's where they come from. All these symbols come from astrology. They were looking at the stars. They were making up stories about it. That's what they did. They would see a war in the sky, and then they would write about it. The Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, they had their own gods that would do all this stuff. That's still, to this day, it's no different. It's no different. Judaism and Christianity is no different. It's still the same stuff.
Could you go back to that first picture of the swastika? Is it clockwise like this one, or is it counterclockwise?
Did This is the evil one, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I meant the one on the spoon or whatever that is.
That's a good question. Probably counterclockwise, but look how it is here. This is you look at Polaris. This is Polaris is in the middle. Polaris is the northern star. Look at Polaris. And you know, this little image I made. And you got the swastika. You know, all this stuff, what they do, Reed, what they do, and I could do an episode with you on Illuminati hand symbols, okay? What they do is they take a positive image like this or like this. Like this or this. What they do is they invert the meaning and then they pervert it. Just like Inverno, Inferno.
Right.
Just like this. Just like this. Just like this. Just like this. These are all inversions of symbols that were positive. And it's just done by some dark occult idiots, but it doesn't take the original meaning away. I'm not going to run around with a swastika on my shirt, but I'm just telling you, this is where it comes from. It all comes from the stars. This is where we get our ideas from.
Right.
You got to understand, the ancients had nothing better to do. They had to survive. Okay. They had to know. We take for granted. I'm on a computer right now. I see that it's 127 on 1030, 2021. You know, I know that it's the end of October. It's a little chilly. You know, we have weather. They didn't have any of that. They had a sundial. Okay, they had to look at the stars with no pollution in the sky. By the way, they had to look at the stars and figure out. Okay, when I see the bull, that's when we plant. Because if we miss that, we're not going to be able to eat at the end of the year, and we're not going to be able to store food. There's plenty of stories in the Bible. Interpretation of dreams, Joseph, storing grains, this, that, and the other thing. That's how they had to do it, okay? The Bible is astrology, astrotheology, but it's also a product of its time, okay?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, Reed. Would you agree at this point that the Bible is definitely – well, you don't have to believe that it's all, but that there's definitely astrology and astrotheology within the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw your episode with Clint several months ago, I pretty much agreed that was the case. Pretty undeniable.
Right. Now watch this. Roman Catholic Catechism 2116. All forms of divination are to be rejected. Recourse to Satan or demons, conjuring up the dead or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future. Consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomena of clairvoyance and recourse to mediums all conceal a desire for power over time, history, and the last analysis, other human beings, as well as a wish to conciliate hidden powers. They contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone. Now, let me ask you a question. You can see it. I'm just a guy from Long Island that figured this out, you know? There is definite astrology in it. Now, why would the Catholic Church tell you that astrology is evil and goes against God?
Because they don't want you to decode it. They don't want you to realize where it comes from, and they can control you with it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Now, I'm going to start showing you, because we're almost at the end.
Okay.
I'm going to start showing you how they are controlling and how they are using it without our knowledge. Okay.
Okay.
How old are you, by the way, buddy?
27.
Okay. All right. I'm 38, so you might not remember two of these things. You might. We'll see. So, the Phoenix Suns, basketball. The Phoenix is the story of Christ the Son, a flaming form of life that dies, who rises from the ashes. Jesus was the Son who died for 3 days and came back to life. That's why Phoenix is known as the Suns. Okay? Phoenix, Sun, Jesus, horse, same thing. What about the women's Phoenix team? The Phoenix Mercury. Mercury is the ruling planet of Virgo, the only woman sign. So how else are things encoded into everyday life and entertainment? Remember this movie, Face Off?
Yeah.
1990s movie Face Off, starring Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. Well, what are their characters' names? Nicolas Cage's character is Castor Troy, and his brother is Pollux Troy in the movie. That's the names of Gemini. I went over it at the beginning. What about Travolta? His name is Sean Archer. Archer is Sagittarius, the man with the bow and the arrow. Those are opposing signs. Remember this movie, this video, Cranberry Zombie?
I don't think I've seen that.
It's okay. Look it up when we're done. You'll see the symbolism now. 1990s song video for the Cranberry Zombie. Here is Dolores O'Riordan painted in gold like the sun, and her head dressing represents the rays of the sun, much like Jesus in the crown of thorns. But is it? Am I reaching? Here's the very next scene. Oh my God, it's the golden sun on the cross. And look at the little Sagittariuses with the bow and the arrow ready to kill the cross. Okay? That's basically what that is. It's just, this is still astrology. This is what it is. Modern day things revolving around astrology. Mermaids, a combination of the man sign and Aquarius, or the woman sign Virgo and the fish sign Pisces. Aquarius and Pisces are connecting signs. Bullfighting, Aquarius the man and Taurus the bull. Jousting, two Sagittariuses together. Lion taming, Aquarius the man and Leo the lion. They are opposing signs. Fishing, Aquarius the man and Pisces the fish. They're connecting signs. You see how we do things to honor as above, so below?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
So the next part goes into the Bible with homosexuality. I'm going to debunk that right now. Okay? Homosexuality in the Bible. Everyone knows about Leviticus 18:22. However, is it really what it said there? The Greek word arsenokotai shows up in two different versions of the Bible in Greek, but was not translated to mean homosexual until 1946. In the 1800s, the German Bible, remember you have to know your German, said man shall not lie with young boys as he does with a woman, for it is abomination. Leviticus 18:22, same with Leviticus 20:13, young boys. 1 Corinthians, the word arsenokotai, and it's important to mention the Bible was written in Hebrew, but everyone at the time knew that if you were an intellect, you wrote and read in Greek. So 1 Corinthians become boy molesters will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you were to grab Martin Luther's original German translation from 1534, they use the word Nabenschander. Naben is a boy, Schander is molester. The first time homosexual appears in German translation is in 1983. This is a modern day thing.
Really modern.
Okay. Not so even basically.
Like... yeah. Wow.
Yep. And people, how much hatred in the world over this? You know,
it's ironic too.
How much hatred?
If boy fucking is the true sin, then the Catholic Church has a lot of problems on its hand.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's not just the Bible, dude. These are the books that I've decoded with astrotheology. If you're ever interested in having me back on, okay? The Book of Matthew, I did that. The Book of Revelation, I've read 2 passages from it. Yep. The Book of Enoch, Jubilees, Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, Melchizedek, the Gospel of Phyllis, Philip, the Gospel of Judas. Books not even biblically related. The Enuma Elish, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Code of Hammurabi, the Quran, the Egyptian Book of the Dead. I decoded all of these with astrology. Wow. You know, take your pick, like any of them.
That was one of my questions I was going to ask earlier, was the books that are not included in the Bible, if you'd also looked at those, but obviously you have.
Yeah. I mean, this is just what I'm doing so far. Right now, I just got the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. I'm going to see if I can find anything in that. But I've done all of this. Like, feel free. Like, we'll talk, you know? So basically, that's my presentation, bud. And basically, on Amazon, Into the Rabbit Hole, Beneath the Veil is book one. I have written a 6-book series, like Dan Brown-type thrillers, where I uncover more of this stuff, where I talk about hidden conspiracies that people don't know about. And I basically wrote them like Dan Brown conspiracy theories. Now I have a publicist and we're trying to turn this into a TV series right now. I don't know how far it's going to get, but we're working on it. And I've just been doing the podcast since then. But my friend, that is my presentation. What did you think?
You blew my mind, man. I lost Twitter and I'm moving this weekend. So it was kind of a crammed schedule, but I definitely got to get you back on. I got to listen to this again and I got to look more into your work and I'd like to talk again in more in depth. And I mean, this is insane though. How did you first start noticing this? Like what led you down this rabbit hole?
There's 2 people that kind of worked on this previously before me. So I'm from Long Island, as I mentioned. I moved to Boston with an ex for a new job in 2013. You know, the iPad had just come out, or the iPad with the camera, just whatever. One of the early iPads just came out. And, you know, my girl at the time, she would like watch a lot of TV because we didn't really know many people there. So we were just kind of kept to ourselves. And I would just go down the rabbit hole. I came across these two people, Jordan Maxwell and Santos Bonocchi, who talk about this kind of stuff. But they kind of go different ways in this. They don't really decode it with it. You know, that's kind of like my thing. And I became so engrossed in this that I felt like it was the answer. I felt like this was the truth that is being hidden from us, that I realized I wanted to teach it. I wanted to do this. I had no intentions on writing books. But then I thought, let me write about all this stuff that I'm figuring out. And then I thought about it and I thought, you know, 1984, A Brave New World, you know, Jules Verne, all these people who wrote truth and fiction, that's the way to go. Because you can, two things will happen. Number one, people could dismiss it. But number two, people also will buy into the reality that you're creating.
Right.
When you're reading a book, Reed, you know, you have to, a fiction book, you have to have faith in the reality that's being shaped for you by the author. Because if you don't have that, you're not going to read the fucking book. You're not going to read the book. You have to buy into the reality. And what happens in my book series is that I've had people tell me that they read it with a highlighter because I drop so much knowledge in it that what basically people do is, you know, they read it, they'll be like, nah, that line is bullshit. And they'll Google it and they'll be like, oh, okay. Or they'll DuckDuckGo it or whatever. They'll look it up. And then after that happens five or six times, they start to be like, okay, maybe he knows what he's talking about. I'm going to stop looking it up. I'm just going to try and read and enjoy it. So I have an English degree, so I know how to write. You know, I come from a family of editors. And I just wrote a 6-book series. And it took me about 2 years to land an agent and with my first book. And then, so I wrote my first book. It took me about 2 years because I didn't really know what I was doing at first. I didn't really know where I was going with it. And what I ended up doing was I got an agent, and then it took me another 2 years, two or three years to get a publishing deal. You know, it was like one of the last people we hit up, and they were like, yes, they didn't. So I have a professional publishing deal. This isn't self-published, you know, and all 6 books are out right now, you know, and I tell people I'm on Twitter at Real Mr. Dank. I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Micah Dank. Hit me up. Let me know what you thought of the presentation. I talk to everyone. If you want to get autographed copies of the books through me instead of giving Bezos the money, because a lot of people in our, you know, truther community kind of fucking hate Bezos.
Yeah.
And yeah, I sell hundreds and hundreds of copies of my books. And right now I'm trying to turn it into a series. Basically, I felt this was so mind-blowing that I only try and share the stuff that blew my mind, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that I leave out. There's plenty of mentions in the Bible of individual signs, but I don't do that because it doesn't do that. Like, remember that one passage, Deuteronomy, where there was 8 signs in that one passage? You know, this is what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to teach people this information. This is what you really have to do. Don't worry about homosexuality. Don't worry about hell. Don't waste your time with this stuff. This is the real truth. And that's basically what I'm just out there putting.
So what do you, what is your belief? Like, I know you said you believe there's a God because of the sun and the moon and like the 1 in a billion chance of that lineup there. But what do you think about religion in general? And then what do you think is actually true to the best of your estimation?
I think religion is trash. I think it keeps you at your lower chakras. I think it keeps you at your lower base levels. I think if you read it literally, you're a monkey. I think that that's what I basically think. Now, it might not be your fault because I've searched my whole life for answers. I've been doing this for 30 years. I only came to my answers when I was 30. You know, so my goal is to teach everyone this so people could wake up and stop being a slave to the system that was set in place for us. You know, it's kind of like what you and Clint do with politics. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't talk politics because although you guys talk politics, I don't talk politics because it's like Michael Jordan said. He goes, Republicans and Democrats both buy Nikes. You know, if I'm being honest with you, 100%, I think both sides are trash. I'm not big on either party. You know, I think it's bananas how devoted people are to a party that fucks them constantly. You know, it's a waste of time, you know. But as far as God goes, I'm probably somewhere in the middle between See, God is infinite, right? If you accept that God is infinite, then nothing can exist outside of infinity. You know, so we're within it. We're within God. We're a subjective part. You know, we're a subjective part to it. So the way I see it is that basically an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-creative source had no outlet. It was just self-aware of itself. So what it did was it created basically a version of itself to subjectively experience through other people, like we're doing right now, like how we're having a conversation. It's a small fraction of God talking to a small fraction of God. I don't know if you have kids, but people with kids do the same thing. I mean, you have kids, they're a part of you, but you experience them separately. It's the same thing, mm-hmm. you know? And as far as it goes, you know, it's something with Spinoza too. Spinoza's God. Einstein said, I believe in the God of Spinoza, and Baruch Spinoza, I believe the same thing too. It's a combination between what I just said to you and that Spinoza would say, like, I've created the mountains, I've created all this beauty, don't waste your time in cold temples, you know, that kind of shit. That's basically what I believe in.
Well, you've certainly gave us a lot to think about, so I think we'll cap it off right there, and I will have you back on again. That was great, and I'll try to absorb this information and come up with some in-depth questions, and you know, I want people to follow you and keep up with you. So if there's anything else you want to plug before we end, just do it right now. And then we'll
just reach out to me on social media, pick up the books, reach out to me for signed copies. You got my phone number, bud. Text me you're going to rewatch this at the end. You'll look at the slide. Well, let me do this actually. Hold on. Let's do this. This is probably easier. I'll leave this up right now. These are the books that I've done, you know, feel free to be like, hey, can we talk about this one? Can we talk about this one? You know, that's basically what we'll do. And I'd love to hear feedback from your people, because I'm going to be sending this particular podcast out, because like I told you, I had like 20 new slides and it went by phenomenally.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on, man. We'll do it again.
All right. I'll talk to you later, man.